All right, well, we're definitely plugged in, Donna. We.
They can't beat us. We won't let them.
Technology, eh?
Technology's fine. It's just they keep fucking with it. You know? Like, they just keep censoring us.
It's crazy. Well, no, we're recording now, and I've got you fine. And we'll continue on from last week, which seemed pretty popular. A lot of good comments, and you put our podcast up on your pages and stuff like that. And so
I shared it into a few groups as well. Got a good response from that.
Yeah, that's right. And
I'm not sure how many people listened to it, but you know, they ticked it, they liked it, and they said.
It's gone well. I put it on the RSS feed, and I just, you know, I look today. There's thousands on the website, so it definitely goes out there. The RSS feed is good because it'll go out to Podbean and so many podcasting platforms. There's some big ones in the United States that I wasn't even aware of. Okay. So I found a whole bunch where my podcast was on, even in Spain and all sorts of places. So that feed takes some out there for lots of listeners as well. So we'll keep that going with this podcast, and it's great for the members to be plugging in because that helps me continue. And I called the podcast last week Eye on Oz. It's cheesy, I know, but I was tired and I was thinking, what could we call that? And I thought that was a good idea, as I talked to you about earlier, because this enables us to plug in each week just quickly and to cover what we're seeing on the ground here in Australia. And you've been blocked again on social media. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight.
A week ban.
And then you came back and you've been posting much information. I've just put up one. I put up one on the website, and I've got a couple more I'm going to put up. I've been blocked there before, but it doesn't bother me personally. My personal page on Facebook, I just keep it really, I don't know, empty. It's just there. I really created the CRAS files for Facebook so I could share information. That's what it's about. Even Hillary Clinton said that a few years ago. She said that we are now in an info war. That's what Alex Jones calls his info war machine. It's a great name, but it is an information war. And this is what the governments around the world, especially in Australia, they really want to stop. They can't stand it. They hate it. It really is a thorn in their side. They hate when large amounts of the population share information. And it's such a simple thing. It's not like the old days where you had to pen a letter and, you know, lick the envelope and go down to the post office and send it. You can get an article and put it on your page now. And I've had like thousands of people reached on my Facebook page recently just for some articles. And some don't do well, and then some just go bananas. And I don't know why that is. But
you sometimes can't pick it. Yeah,
you can't pick it, you know, but the important thing is that we just keep sharing. And I feel like over the years, looking at the at Australia and the Alternative News Network, we don't have a big network like Americans do. So there's a bunch of us here, and we're joining up and we're sharing information. But it's a lot of people are pretty scared because the media have so much power in this country, you know. And we have a lot of pretty scary laws, especially since 9/11 in this country, you know, that I've talked a lot about on this podcast. And people seem to want to be pretty quiet, but on social media, it's just another world in there. And people bag Facebook and Twitter and all these big social media outlets. But I myself did, and I thought maybe I'll get off there. And I've gone to other social media outlets that I've tried, but I'm just not getting the same reach. And putting stuff on Facebook, there's a lot of great people, and they share a lot of stuff. It's amazing how much information we can get out to people. And I feel like in this day and age, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like I'm really good at that, and I wanted to do something that I know I'm good at. So I built
the
website. Yeah, we did the website, and I'm pretty good at doing this.
Love the website.
And also, I'm like you, what you were saying before, I'm able to find information pretty quickly, whereas, you know, people are busy and they don't know where to go and they don't know where to look. I'm able, like you, to find stuff pretty fast and whack it up pretty quick and share it like you're doing. And
yes.
It's amazing, isn't it? And I think that's what's really – I've actually heard – I heard Malcolm Turnbull – our former Prime Minister say that he was kind of talking about. Yeah, he was talking about how, you know, he didn't sort of like all this information being shared so fast, and that they wanted to crack down on it. And we are seeing that, of course. What's your ideas on this? I'm seeing a tremendous speed here, like a tremendous take-up of all this information that's being shared and that we're sharing and other people are sharing. It's really like a fire out of control now, isn't it? People are thirsty for, different information that's outside of the mainstream media. You know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I was listening to David Icke, and he explains it really well. The internet was designed by DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And I've been following his work quite a lot. And, yeah, just interesting how when they launched Facebook, which is CIA-owned, they let it be free reign. So anything and everything could be shared because they wanted to get the general public worldwide hooked on Facebook, and it worked. But their plan was to let it run its course until where we are now, where we're sharing absolutely everything, and especially, you know, the vaccine issue, the cancer issue, and now they're trying to control it. So they've got everybody hooked, and now they're going to take bits of it away. Because I think they're freaking out behind the scenes that we are sharing so much information that's real. And, you know, the awakening is happening quicker than I think they imagined. So that's why the censorship is so heavy at the moment. It's crazy. I mean, that's the second time ever. And I've been on Facebook, seriously on Facebook for 4 years, sharing what I know about the vaccine issue and cancer and the like. And that's the second time I've had a week ban. And the excuse was, I think, it's not like you can ring, you know, Facebook headquarters and ask anybody, but I think it's because I shared one post to 18 groups. So they went, ding, 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 flag. And then I got this notification saying, I'm not allowed to share any links to any groups. I'm not allowed to join any groups. I'm not allowed to comment in any groups. I'm not allowed to share any links to my wall. All I could share was if I printed something on my page or if I shared a meme. That's all I could do. And so I was filtering, you know, I've got a few buddies. So I've got friends that I would send in Messenger, the link, and then they would then share it around for me. That's how I got around it. It was a pain, but it worked. But the first time I got banned, I couldn't share any links in Messenger, and I couldn't even do a GIF in Messenger, GIF. Yeah, so they've got different levels of the banning. I'm not 100% sure, but some people have said to me, next time watch out because you'll probably get a 30-day ban, and that's really going to hurt me. No. But, yeah, anyway, I'll work it out. I'll get around it.
I don't think people overseas realize how severe it is here in Australia. I always call Australia a dark paradise because it's this beautiful country, but you scratch below the surface and it's really ugly, isn't it? We have a lot of strange stuff happening in this country, and while we can, as I said, you know, we need to plug in and go over that for people here and people listening overseas. It's a real worry in this country with this technology and surveillance and all these new laws and how the government are scrutinizing everything that we say. Isn't it amazing?
We're a test case.
Yeah, we definitely are. I always say that.
They're very laid back.
We're taking it.
I've asked this question many times. Excuse me. And they say that because of our typical she'll be right, mate, you know, basically let somebody else take the reign. They don't really want to, what's the word? I'm going to cough again, sorry. Oh, get this frog in my throat. I've only just gotten over strep. I'm so sorry. Oh dear.
I actually had that. I had that a few weeks back, strep throat.
Oh, yeah. It's shocking.
Yeah, it's horrible. I don't know what happened.
I've ever had it.
Yeah, I know. I copped that really bad. I couldn't get rid of it. I tried colloidal silver and everything, and it kept coming back and back. And it was over about 2 weeks, into 3 weeks. And I've never had that in my life because I was completely normal. And I had this terrible strep throat. It was like swallowing a golf ball. With razor blades in it, you know?
Yes, that's
and,
it.
I kept waking up at night in pain. It was really horrible. The only thing that helped me was, olive leaf extract, Australian olive leaf extract.
Okay, that's a good one to know.
Yeah, I started, taking that and like the next day it was better and in 2 days it was gone. The raw one.
Okay, well, that was probably the one thing I didn't try.
olive leaf extract is fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just I don't take it if I'm not. Yeah, I just have it like in the start of the winter or whatever, or when you know whenever I just start, I like take it, but I don't take it all the time. I'll just take it for a few months and then I'll put it back in the fridge and then I'll leave it. But
okay, so you have to refrigerate it. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, get the it's an amazing product. Mm.
Okay, I mean, yeah, when you walk into a health food shop, it just blows me away how much there is to know, you know, about the other side. Instead of allopathic, you're looking at holistic more, and there's just so much to know, so much to choose from. And that's why I ended up, sourcing, alternative help. I actually went there today. And, wow, I was wowed. Like, they did all these tests on me, bone density, they did my weight, my height, my body measurements, check my heart rate with an EEG or an ECG, can't remember which one that was. And then I had an appointment with the doctor, and he's an integrative doctor. So he's you know, like he's a proper mainstream GP, if you like, and then he's a holistic doctor as well, which is how it should be. And I had an hour and a half appointment with him. Could you imagine going to your GP and having an hour and a half appointment? I don't think so. You know, they get you in for 10 to 15 minutes and they kick you out and go next. So, yeah, and very thorough. I've got all of these tests to do through through the pathology, and then I've got to do an ultrasound on my spleen because he's worried about my spleen because my spleen's eating my platelets. He wants to see how enlarged that is. There's a couple of tests I have to pay for outside of Medicare, but majority of them will be covered, which is a relief because I was thinking, oh, that's going to cost me a fortune. But, so after, probably 2.5 hour session with them, because I saw the nutritionist as well, and she asked me a few more questions, and then, come back in 2 weeks' time with all the results. And then he'll go through everything with me and then decide on what protocol to take. But I was very impressed. I mean, it was a lot of money, I must admit, but that's the government's fault as well because they're not recognising naturopathic anymore as a claim through your private health insurance. So it all had to come out of my pocket, which is $550. But, you know, I mean, I'm investing in my health. I mean, could you imagine if I let this go and how much it's going to cost me down the track? So I think, well, let's just cut it to the chase now and do as much as I can to heal myself before it gets worse.
Yeah, of course. It's really disgusting, the attack on natural therapies and medicines in this country. Something I never thought I would ever see because, probably more than 50% of the Australian population use some form of it and, you know, supplements and things like this. And in the last few years, especially since No Jab, No Play, No Pay was brought in, you know, the vaccination laws were brought in by Rupert Murdoch's grubby newspaper system. And the powers that be behind it, of course, the pharmaceutical industry and all the big money masters, you know, and they ram that through. That I saw this assault on natural medicine, which is really crazy. I never thought that I would see. I thought that Australia would be leading the world in this, and I think we will. I don't think they're going to be able to stop it, you know. But it really hits you in that sore spot, and it really makes me angry that people's right to choose, and you know, is being attacked by these disgusting.
They're cornering us. They're cornering us into their own way, in their own system. They don't want anything alternative. They just want us trapped in the way they want it to be, where we will have no choice whatsoever.
It's a nasty attack on naturopaths. And I actually know a lady who's a homeopath, and she was saying that their internet, their website, sorry, has been attacked. And there's so many trolls and stuff like that, and they've had a really hard time, you know. And a lot of people are getting that, you know. And it's a really terrible thing to see. I can't see them stopping it though. It's just so popular in Australia, and it's everybody's free choice to choose what they want to do. As is, you know, what you're doing. You're using the medical system, but you're incorporating different elements, natural, and you've got good doctors and all of this sort of stuff, and that's what it should be. But to attack people and to try and take away their rights to choose, you know, natural therapies, whether it be herbs or vitamin supplements or whatever it is, you know, if I want to go down to the health food store tomorrow and get myself a bottle of olive leaf extract or some supplements, or I want to get gluten-free bread or whatever the hell I want to get from the health food store. I want to get, you know, coconut oil. I want to use that on my family or myself. If I want to see a naturopath, I want to see a homeopath for my child because something's happening. And then eventually I might want to see a doctor or whatever it is. That's my choice. And this is the thing that's being taken away, you know, in this country. And it's amazing to me how the mainstream media seems so on board with this. He really blows me away. Yeah, it's out of control. It's really disgusting.
They're controlled. Mainstream media, they're told what to say.
Of course, And at the end of the day, they don't really care, do they? They're just prostitutes.
Well, I've heard that they're going to – well, this is – I don't know how true this is, but it does make sense because Big Pharma has got their fingers in the alternate, you know, with all the supplements and everything. You have a look and some of the supplements, and they're actually made by Big Pharma.
Of course.
So they've got their finger in both pies. And also I've heard that they're going to introduce it so GPs are the only ones that can recommend supplements by way of a script.
Yep.
This is what I've heard. I'm not 100% sure about that, but it's worthwhile checking that out. And, yeah, so you won't be able to go to a health food shop in the future and choose what you want. You will have to go to a doctor and he will say yes or no whether you can have it or not, whether he thinks you need it. How dare they? Mm. You know, that's just so outrageous. I can't see them banning the whole lot. I really can't, as you just said. I think they just want control over it all. You know, they want more control, so you don't have freedom of choice when you go into a health food shop and you can go blah, blah. There are some supplements that you have to have, say, a naturopath recommend to you. A lot of them are actually behind like a glass cabinet, if you like. Bioceuticals is one of them. You can't just buy that straight off. You've got to have a recommendation from a naturopath. For reasons I'm not 100% sure of, but I just think it's outrageous that they just want to take over and not give us any more choices. It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Did you ever look into Codex Alimentarius?
No, I haven't done a lot of research. I've heard of that name, but I haven't done a huge amount of research on that yet.
No,
there's so much to research.
It was a long time. It was like a food code. It was a long time ago. Yeah, it came out maybe even in the late 90s or something. Yeah, it was a collection of standards and guidelines and codes and stuff like this adopted through this codex system. And one of the things was, this whole crackdown on what you were talking about, the natural system there and health food stores and shutting them down, making them comply, making you go to a doctor to get any kind of supplements that you want and all of that. So it was through the pharmaceutical industry. I'd recommend people look at that Codex Alimentarius because it's there's a lot of information there that came out a long time ago that I was talking about so much, and then I kind of forgot about it. But that's sort of what they're doing. It's these sort of codes that they're putting through, sort of like Agenda 2030. Where they're going to start cracking down on all of this. So you're right to choose what you want to do for you and your family, you know, getting into your bodies, into your mind, you know.
I think that would be good to do next week, is just go through a few of the astonishing things they have planned for us in the agenda. It'll blow people's minds. I mean, I remember Jackie Lambie, who is a senator. I think she's in Tasmania now. She did a breakdown of the agenda and addressed, I think it was parliamentarians. I mean, there were high-level people there. And, yeah, she went through it all and broke it all down, and there was a good probably 50-minute talk that she did. I went to look for it again online, couldn't find it. I think they've removed it.
Mm.
But she really explained it and scared the pants off me, I tell you. When I first saw it, I thought, wow. Because it's under the guise of sustainable development, you know, and they make it sound like it's all going to benefit everybody and everybody's going to be happy. But no, there's just such a hidden agenda there. Mm. And it is huge, like the amount of information in that agenda. It goes on for eons. You know, they just cover every little thing, you know, so there's going to be no land ownership. We're not going to be able to own our own block of land anymore. They're just taking our water rights away. It's just crazy. But they just want us all into these smart cities. That's their goal. It's going to take them a while, I think, but you can see the speed of things happening now. Yeah. So they're just going to keep putting their foot on the throttle until, you know, I mean, things are just so blatant to us, the awakened, but to the sleepiness of the sheeple, they're not getting it. They just don't see it. Do they?
No, it's I actually saved I saved an amazing article that was shared so much online back in 2015 from Mike Adams, great guy, and
yeah, I love Mike.
Yeah, and it was the United Nations 2030 Agenda Decoded. So it's a blueprint for global enslavement of humanity under the boot of corporate masters, and it was such a great article, and I save all my articles in files, and I found it recently. So what they basically do is they go through the actual goals of this United Nations 2030 system, and they sort of break it down. So it might be good to go through it with you here and get your opinion on it, and there's a whole lot of points here, and I'll send it to you later. It's such a great article. And okay. So they're talking here about all their goals for the UN, what they want to do. So one is to end poverty in all its forms everywhere. And the translation is to put everyone on government welfare, food stamps, housing, subsidize the housing and handouts that make them obedient slaves to global government. Never allow people upward mobility to help themselves, instead teach mass victimization and obedience to a government that provides monthly allowance, money for basic essentials like food and medicine. Label it ending poverty. And so we see that a lot, and they say here, end hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. And he says here, invade the entire planet with GMOs and Monsanto's patented seeds while increasing the use of deadly herbicides under the false claim of increased output of food crops. Engineer genetically modified plants to boost specific vitamin chemicals while having no idea of the long-term consequences of genetic pollution or cross-species genetic experiments carried out openly in a fragile ecosystem like Australia. Of course, we have that here. We are doomed if we bring that stuff in here. They're talking here about ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all ages. So they're saying here, translation, mandate 100% vaccines for all children and adults at gunpoint, threatening parents with arrest and imprisonment if they refuse to cooperate, push heavy medication use on children and teens while rolling out screening programs, call mass medication prevention programs, and claim they improve the health of citizens. Ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. We're getting that through our education system in Australia at the moment. So translation, push a false history and a dumbed down education under Common Core education standards that promote obedient workers rather than independent thinkers. Never let people learn real history or else they might realize they don't want to repeat it. Achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Translation, criminalize Christianity, marginalize heterosexuality, demonize males, and promote the LGBT agenda everywhere. The real goal is never equality, but rather the marginalization and shaming of anyone who expresses any male characteristics whatsoever. The ultimate goal is to feminize society, creating widespread acceptance of gentle obedience, along with the self-weakening ideas of communal property and sharing everything, because only male energy has the strength to rise up against oppression and fight for human rights. The suppression of male energy is key to keeping the population in a state of eternal acquiescence.
They don't want us breeding. They don't want us breeding. That's it, in a nutshell.
It's some good points.
They want to cull. They want to get rid of about probably, well, what I've read anyway, 90%. The remaining 10% of the population will be their slaves. And I don't think they will be anywhere over the age of 40. I think they'll all be very young. And we are dispensable. Like, I'm 57. I don't know how old you are, but you know what I mean? It's going to be like we are disposable. Mm. We're going to dispose of us because we're just liabilities. Yeah, well, we know too much.
We're a pain in the ass. Yeah, and, I'm happy to go on my grave as a pain in the ass. You can put that on my tombstone. This guy was a pain in the ass.
I'll just keep going until my last breath. I don't care. I'm not going anywhere.
I wouldn't want to change, Donna. I'm 46 and I grew up in, I was born in 1972. I grew up in the 70s and we had a great childhood running around in the bush, picking mulberries, running around at the beach. It was wild. My parents never walked me to school. I was walking with my older brothers and we had a wild, crazy childhood and we were, you know, in bare feet all the time. Growing up, just a home phone, one home phone, one TV for the whole family, out all the time. You couldn't get me inside after school. I jumped out the window. We were always setting off firecrackers on cracker night, running around the place.
Yeah, well, it wasn't cracker night, great.
Yeah, I wouldn't change it. I love growing up in an old house and like that back then. Everything's so structured now and so silly and crazy.
Some idiots. To put some crackers in a dog's bum or in its mouth or some kids, you know, were being silly with it and weren't being supervised or whatever. But, yeah, it was just such a shame when they made that illegal, you know. I mean, I think it's still legal in Canberra, for reasons I don't know. Everything seems to be legal in Canberra. But, you know, outside of Canberra, if you get caught with a firecracker, look out. I mean, you know, there's still... probably, you know, under the table firecrackers going around, but
to protect kids I think it was I'll send it to you. It is on YouTube, but when we talked with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, she said something really incredible, and I've mentioned it a lot. She was saying that she couldn't think of anything else in the world like where kids can be harmed, you know, like when you I've talked a lot about this on this podcast that, you know, when it comes to children being harmed or people being harmed, the government step in very quickly. you know, just general products, or if someone gets eats something at a supermarket or whatever and they get injured or poison, you get massive product recalls nationwide. You know, sometimes you see at Christmas they pull toys off all the shelves because it's deemed unsafe for children. Of course, we have seat belts, we have everything to protect us. But when children get injured by vaccinations, after ultrasound, of course, but when they're injured by these vaccines and they become brain damaged or they're killed or whatever, nothing happens and no one's made accountable. Nothing's said. It's just the industry who made those vaccines just gets off scot-free. No, the media doesn't report on it. No one talks about it. And it's really incredible, isn't it? And she said that. It's like, can you think of anything that could kill a child where people aren't outraged? Where, you know, parents aren't going on the streets, where the media aren't reporting it in their papers. I mean, if a child gets injured, they are. But when they get injured by a vaccine, it's silence, isn't it? And I thought that was a really incredible thing she said, and so true.
It is. And even today, I went to Ballina, and what I do, I make sure I take my magnets off my car. And I find that when I'm putting them back on, I have to wipe my doors down because of the vibration of the car against the magnet. It can actually ruin your paintwork. So I just make it a point of using just a clean rag and just wipe my doors and put the magnets on. And each time I do this now, of late, I notice people come up to me. They actually come up to me and ask me the question, what is in a vaccine? And so I've got my ammo, I've got my flyers handy, and then I have a chat to them for not for very long because most people are going somewhere at the time. So, but I have a little chat to them, and then they'll say, "Oh, the light bulb, I can see the light bulb go on," and then I give them a flyer, and then they thank me very much. So my magnets are working. I have had no negativity at all, none. And so what I'm doing now is trying to encourage. I'm plastering it everywhere. On all the groups on my wall, to please consider having some magnets. And I get, you know, people saying, oh, but what about this and what about that? And oh, I'll be worried about getting my car keyed, you know, like people running a key along your car, or someone, you know, kicking my car in or something. I said, no, it doesn't happen. So long as you take your magnets off when you're not there, okay, because you're leaving yourself wide open there. But if you're there, and you're fussing over your car with the magnets, putting them on, people are curious to know what you're doing. And it's worked time and time again. And a guy came up to me today, and he said, do you mind if I take a photo of your magnet? I said, no. I said, but I'll give you some flyers. How's that? He said, because I'm really interested in that vitamin K shot. And I said, yes, well, that's got a black box warning on it. Do you know what that means? And I explained it to him. He said, oh, thank you so much. He said, so I have to go and learn the risk.org. I said, yes. And you can go on the AVN website, which is the Australian Vaccination Skeptics. I made them put skeptics word in there, network. And so he's going to go on both the sites. He's going to check all the information out. I mean, if I didn't have my magnets on the car, he would never have known. You know what I mean? So it's, you can never underestimate sowing a seed. You know, you just got to put it out there, and it's the best way I've come up with yet. It really is. I can't recommend it enough. It's just people are scared, you know. But I'm overcoming all of that because I'm doing it. All the objections, all the fear. And I'm saying, no, I've proved that that doesn't happen. You know, I'm not saying it won't happen, but with me, I've been driving around with them for probably a year now. And I like to mix them up. I'm coming up with new ones all the time. Joshua Coleman, do you know Joshua Coleman? Who was the videographer for Vaxxed. Mm-hmm. And he's now got a huge movement over in the States called V for Vaccine. And he's come up with these very, very easy to read, what do you call them, the signs on the stick, signs. And he had everybody marching through different cities with the, you know, the V for Vendetta, you know, the mask, and with the signs, and they've got the black capes on and the hat, and they're all walking through this area. I think it was out the front of the CDC at one point. Then he had them marching, you know, outside a football ground, you know, where people are coming and going. so high traffic areas, and he had an army of women and guys, but I think it was mainly women, with these signs just standing, and people could not help but read it. But it was simple. It was easy to read. You could see that particular message probably a block and a half away. He didn't have it too busy. He had it very, very prominent, and it's working. It is really working, and I take my hat off to him too. He's amazing. He's an amazing man. He's got a vaccine-injured child, an autistic boy, and he just takes it to the next level. This is what we've got to do. We've got to do the shock factor. We've got to really put it out there and stop this fear of, oh, I might get into trouble, you know? And they did it here in Australia too. We encouraged a whole lot of them to do it, the steps of Parliament. And, you know, we got no media coverage on that, did we? So hardly anybody would know about it. But certainly all the alternative channels know about it.
Incredible.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he's got it set up on his website that you can just take that PDF and turn it into anything you want. So if I wanted to make a magnet for my car, or if I wanted to make a banner, or if I wanted to make a sign or a flyer, it's all available there for free, you know. And he's even gone to the extent now of actually ordering certain signs for people. So he's actually travelling to different areas, different cities, and saying, right, I'm going to be in blah, blah city on this date. If you want to buy a sign, meet me there. You know, because people say, oh, but I don't know how to do that. Well, he's made it even easier again. He's actually ordered the signs and having them all ready to go. All you have to do is pay for them and take them away and use them. You know, he's just thinking outside the square. This is what we have to do. And he's a leader, and everybody loves a leader. You know, they're thinking of different ways to get the word out. And if any of us can make it easier, because I'm actually doing an order. Vista Print have actually got 25% off car magnets at the moment. They were normally $21 each. Now they're down to, I think, $15.75. I thought, well, that's a bargain. And so, yeah, I'll order 20 of each and see how they go. You know, if I've got them on as stock, so to speak, I will push them as much as I can, and then I'll order another bunch. You know, I don't want to overdo it, but we'll see how we go. It's got to overcome everybody's objections, that's all, the fear. What if this happens? What if that happens?
Yeah, I know. It's let's talk a little bit about Corvelva. Is that what it was? Let me have a look. The vaccine gate of Italy. That is a really interesting study, isn't it? There's a study in Italy that has found major contaminants in vaccines that are used all over the world. So this is going on in Italy, and I've been following this because I know some Italians myself, and so it's been going on since the start of this year, and Italy is witnessing this vaccine gate. So it's saying here in 2017, a lab in the country started studying 7 common vaccines that prevent diseases like polio, yeah, right, and hepatitis B. The results on 4 of the vaccines were released in December 2018 and have been in the news ever since. And I've put up tons of this stuff on my website as well, and we've been chatting about it on podcasts because it's so interesting. And even in Italy, the parliament over there has been discussing these particular studies. So the results of these studies show that not only all 4 vaccines carry contaminants, one does not even have the antigens in the form that can be absorbed by the body to develop the immunity that it says it's going to, so towards the target diseases. So here you have a vaccine that doesn't even have the antigens inside it that can be absorbed by the body. And so, you know, it's like selling your product and you get it home and there's nothing in it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So the 4 vaccines are used across Europe and even India, and I guess here as well is what they're saying. Did you look into this actual study? It's absolutely fascinating for me. Are they saying that these vaccines are loaded with impurities?
Oh, they are. Oh, there's
what an incredible study.
Yeah, a huge amount of adjuvants in there. I don't know whether you've seen that interview with Jonas Salk, where he admits that they were injecting, well, the polio vaccine was causing cancer. He admits it. It's a full-on interview, but I think it was back in the 70s or 60s, late 60s, early 70s that he was interviewed, and there's a little section. I actually posted it today in a thread that I was fighting against some trolls. And, he actually, this little section of the interview, he admits that that's what was causing cancer. So nobody could argue with that. I said, this is directly from the horse's mouth. It's just so bizarre. Like, there's so much out there. The evidence is astounding. And yet these trolls, well, okay, they're paid to do what they do, but we've got people sitting on the fence and they still will not listen to fact. You know, it's you're just bashing your head up against a brick wall with some of these people because they're so indoctrinated and they just believe in the system so much that they refuse to take their blinkers off. You know, oh, no, well, our government wouldn't do that to us. No. You know. It just makes me laugh, but it makes me cry at the same time, you know, like, wake up. This is happening. It's real.
It's a big...
You know, they're poisoning us.
It's a huge worry. I put up another article, and I've seen this a lot. It was shocking discoveries. Hundreds of cancer genes are deliberately engineered into the MMR vaccine to promote cancer for generations to come. And
yeah, Mike Adams covered that.
Yeah, I was checking on this. One comment from Jim West has said, he said this absolutely could be because they're working with immortal cancer cell lines and that's standard microbiology. Injecting anything related to such cells would not be a positive, probably not a problem for a healthy child. So a very healthy child with a healthy immune system might be able to get over something like that, being injected with that. But healthy children don't exist anymore due to ultrasound. So as we talked about last week, Donna, they're being poisoned in the womb and then they're being injected with this bloody crap. It's unbelievable. So that,
as I said last week,
that's another article come out, it's frightening
for them, the babies to be born damaged, so
they're already damaged.
Exactly. So there's no transition, like there's no regression. They don't want you, they don't want anybody to see the regression, so they're now poisoning them in the womb
and telling you it's normal. This,
but that's what's happening. But the human and animal cells, I've got my flyer in front of me from Brandy Bourne, learntherisk.org. Human DNA from aborted babies, pig blood, horse blood, rabbit brains, dog kidneys, cow hearts, monkey kidneys, chicken embryos, calf serum, sheep blood and more, linked to childhood leukemia and diabetes. Okay? And then we have the mercury, well, we all know about that.
Frankenstein.
Monosodium glutamate, MSG, a toxic chemical that is linked to birth defects, developmental delays and infertility, banned in Europe. Neomycin sulfate, which is an antibiotic, interferes with vitamin B6 absorption, which can lead to epilepsy and brain damage. Allergic reactions can range from mild to life-threatening. We got polysorbate 80 and 20. So there's two different ones, 80 and 20. Known to cause cancer in animals and linked to numerous autoimmune issues and infertility. See where this is heading? Infertility comes up a lot.
Always comes up. Always.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and people need to understand it's the generations coming. You know, people think I'm fine. You know, I can have babies. You know, but what about your kids and your kids' kids and their kids' kids and so on? It's these people are patient. You know?
Well, my daughter's just told me, which broke my heart, she said, Mum, I don't want to have any children and bring them into this world. Now, this is a 22-year-old talking.
Yeah, you're getting that.
I want nothing more than to be a grandmother. You know, she's already lost her father. And to say that to me, not to be horrible, but she just knows it's going to be that difficult by the time that she's ready to have a child, which won't be now. It'll probably be in, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. Where are we going to be then? You know, she knows. She knows what's coming.
The brave new world. Issue.
Exactly. And, yeah, that broke my heart, you know. And that's why I'm fighting so hard, because I want her to be able to bring a child into this world and not have to be faced with all this crap. You know, wrong. And it needs to stop.
The saying here, a shocking new gene sequencing investigation has found that MMR vaccines are deliberately engineered to cause cancer as a repeat business model for Big Pharma, which manufactures vaccines and cancer treatment drugs for profit. MMR vaccines were found to contain the complete gene sequence of a specific human aborted baby whose genes were modified to express cancer. In all, over 500 genes were altered to heighten the expression of cancer. And so this is incredible. This is Frankenstein. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's just like they're mapping this stuff and this is what do you call this? What name could we come up with this? And this is being re-injected into our babies is absolutely insane. And that so many people will actually fight you. They actually come up to you and want to punch you in the face to protect this very system that's poisoning them and their kids. How do we get through to people? How do we get through? How do we make them just read this and at least think about it before you go down to the local medical center with your six-month-old and let them inject this bloody poison into your children's bodies? It makes me want to scream. I can't stop people from taking their kids and going and vaccinating them, okay? We can't. There's nothing we can do. All we can do is talk about it and try and get information out. And I don't want people, I'm not trying to force my opinion on anyone. I just want them to read this stuff and look at it, because the media will say, oh, put your tinfoil hat on. This is all conspiracy nut job stuff. But, you know, it's like, oh, so we're supposed to all just turn around and believe their information because they print it in their newspapers and that's the end all. There's no other information in the world. We just have to pick up the Rupert Murdoch newspapers and that's what we believe. All this other stuff just isn't true. But, you know, we really need to start looking at this stuff, because the information is coming out hard and it's coming out fast. And all their peer-reviewed studies and all their big pharmaceutical rip-off ridiculous nonsense that they put out, it's all being ripped to pieces as the technology gets faster and people get access to more information. This stuff's coming out hard, Donna, and there's PDFs showing you all this CDC information here. This is a fully backed up article that I put up here.
They're rewriting, you know, they're rewriting the vaccine inserts take out aborted baby fetal cells.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Because they don't do it, right? They don't do it. But it's right here. It's right here.
Mm-hmm. So if you've got an original vaccine insert, which I have, I've got the flu shot. The flu shot one. They're worth their weight in gold. the other thing that's in it is formaldehyde. Now, you get injected with that when you die.
Interesting, isn't it? So it says here,
known to cause cancer in humans, probable gastrointestinal, liver, respiratory, immune, nerve, and reproductive system poison. Banned from injectables in most European countries.
Reproductive again.
We've got latex rubber in there as well.
That's
we
nice.
We have aluminum, which we know, known to cause brain damage at all doses, linked to Alzheimer's disease, dementia, seizures, autoimmune issues, SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome, and cancer. This toxin accumulates in the brain and causes more damage with each dose. So it's accumulative. Now, how many injections, how many vaccines have got aluminum in them? You know, this just builds up in the brain.
It's incremental.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, how are you going to trace it back?
Well,
if you have complete faith in the medical system and you've taken your child in there and then suddenly they've got cancer or they're having seizures or they're regressing into autism or a million and other one conditions, you know, how are you going to trace it back? It's like, I always say that. It's like drinking fluoridated tap water. It's like drinking the tap water since you're a child, and then you're 40 years old and you've got bladder cancer. Or something like that. You know, how are you going to prove that it was the water that you drank your whole life? How are you going to prove that it was the vaccines that the doctor injected into you when you were a little kid?
How clever they are. This is how clever they are.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's it's not just random what they're doing, and that's what I keep telling people. People keep telling me that, oh, this stuff just fell in there. No, it didn't. This is, it's planned. It's absolutely planned. Oh, they know what they're doing.
They plan 10
to 20
years in advance.
Absolutely it is. 100%.
100%. They have huge think tanks that, you know, look at every scenario. Like this cash ban, they have huge think tanks about that. I've been wondering what to do with my money for, what, probably 5-6 years now, even before I really woke up. And I'm thinking, oh, well, if I do the share market, well, that's a bit risky. Real estate's a bit risky. Everything was risky in my head, like super risky. And then I thought, I'll just hold on to the cash for a while, just, you know, just have a look. Maybe something will pop up in the future. I invested in some silver in the end and real estate. And that's just where I live. I haven't invested in any like properties, like investment properties. But I just thought to myself, what am I going to do with it? You know, I was really troubled by it because everything seems so up in the air, and it still is to this day. You know, this cash ban's come in. It's coming in, and it's the $10,000 limit. Have you heard about that?
You put up an article, I haven't shared it, but it was on the Cash Ban Senate submission posted. And there was a person that, posted a reply to this or a letter to this, which they printed. It was really interesting. Mm.
Yes, it was a CEC report. They are the watchdogs. They're the ones that really keep an eye on the financial system here. And I take my hat off to them as well. You know, they really fight for our financial freedom. So when this will come in, I just can't see it not coming in, because our politicians are puppets and they are told what to do. Doesn't matter. It's like the vaccine issue. Everybody just keeps looking to the side. You know, they just turn their head to anything that you present them. So the same thing is applying to the financial system here. And it's all, you know, the fiat system anyway, Federal Reserve. And they're all controlled too. So whatever the elites say, it gets implemented. Doesn't matter how many people do cartwheels in front of them, it doesn't matter. It's just going to go ahead.
So you think cash ban is to move the country to a zero or negative interest rate environment?
Yes. Yes. It's also to make sure that we have no choice but to put our money in the bank.
There will be no cash.
Cashless society. They'll end up putting the chip in our hands, and we will be at the bankster's mercy.
We
won't be able to do any transactions without our ATM card. Sorry, not ATM card, the chip. That's the next stage of the card, the ATM card.
Do you think that the microchip is a distraction, though? I sometimes think that maybe we're breathing it in, that it's already in us.
Oh, we've got chips.
The systems that they're building, you know, the eye technology and reading our facial scans and all that will just recognize us because it's already part of us, the technology that they've sprayed on us.
That's all part of the transhumanism thing. But, I
guess the microchip gets us looking in another direction, though, doesn't it? We kind of think, oh, they're going to put a chip under our skin, but it seems so old school sort of science fiction when I think, God, maybe it's already in us.
Well, I suppose you could be right there, because they don't want us to know that we've got chips inside of us, so that they'll think, well, how's all this going to work? Oh, no, we'll put a physical chip in. So then they know that that's the trigger to opening a door, or to activate our, you know, put our password in, or whatever we're doing online. I don't know. It's very complex, but I think, yeah, you make a lot of sense when you say that, actually. I know David Icke sort of goes right into all of that in detail, but they just want complete control over us, and they're also talking about a bail-in as well, which scares me, and I don't like saying the word scared, but you know, if you've got a lot of money in the bank, they could come in at any time, like they did with Cyprus in Greece, and just swipe your money.
That's right.
And if you've got, say, you've got, I don't know, 5, 10, 20, 100,000 in the bank, you can kiss that goodbye if they do a swipe.
That's right. Happened in Argentina as well.
Yes.
They lost everything.
A few countries.
Gone. Mm. Yep. It says here, this is a A world where Australians could wake up to find that their local bank account takes 4% of their savings each year because theorists working for central banks believe that this is a great way to grow an economy, the theory being that consumption and by virtue of that, the economy will grow because otherwise the bank will take your hard-earned savings. So this is happening, as they say it, in Sweden and other countries as well.
If we're going to negative interest rates, we'll be paying the bank to hold our money.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You'll be paying them. Yeah,
you'll be paying the bank. Yeah, for the privilege. But it really isn't a privilege.
It's negative interest rates.
That's right, and they're talking 2-5% negative interest.
And that's
rates.
Where we're going now. We can see it, can't we? They're doing that. Yeah,
I think we're on 1% in the positive at the moment. So that's the move, and the guise is to stop the black money, what do they call that? I can't think of the name of it now. But, yeah, stop all the illegal dealings with cash. Money laundering, that's one they're talking about.
It was interesting in that article they were talking about how countries like Sweden and others are moving towards that cashless society.
But oh, they have.
Most countries rely on cash still, don't they?
I mean, they have chip parties. Microchip.
Yeah, they seem. Isn't it amazing? They're celebrating their own enslavement.
Yeah. Oh, they think it's so convenient. You know, new technology, and they don't realise that. Yeah, they've just become a slave, a proper one.
I was amazed to see that Japan was the country that mostly uses cash, and Switzerland, followed by Hungary, Czech Republic,
really?
Poland, Israel, United States, Mexico, Korea, Australia's in the middle. So we're still using cash quite a lot in Australia. But I was surprised. There you go. Chile aren't using much cash, and Denmark, Iceland, New Zealand, worse than Australia, and Norway and Sweden the top. So that's the currency of cash. In circulation as diminishing. So what would this mean, Donna, that I guess most people are using just their cards?
Yes.
You know, to pay for things and stuff like that. Nobody actually has cash on them.
But what happens, this is what I want to know, what happens if an ATM breaks down or the banks are having a glitch like they've been doing all over the place? A lot of people can't get their money.
That's right.
You know?
Which so they don't have anyway.
There's no cash. So
it's just
they,
numbers.
For example, there's no cash, so they're bugged. So unless you've got some stashed at home. It's just crazy. It's just a really crazy system. And that's the CEC's report's argument to the government, saying, what about if the bank has a glitch? People won't be able to do any transactions at all. You know, they won't be able to buy food or pay a bill or anything. It's all digital. So you've got to have the two together, I believe, anyway. You've got to have that cash option to be able to safeguard yourself in case the internet shuts down or a bank has a glitch.
That's right. Yeah, they're talking about in the article about outages and in retail stores, what's happened in California as well. For people who are wondering what we're talking about overseas, in the article it's talking about the cash ban in Australia would make it a crime to transact in such a scenario. Emergencies are precisely the time when it might be critical. As you said, yeah, you might be critical for you to purchase something to deal with this. So it's the proposed legislation says that it's going to be illegal to get a transaction over $10,000 in Australia. When there is a natural disaster such as a fire or a power outage, of course, because there's less physical cash will be in the system if this ban goes through, the ability to find and withdraw such cash in the case of emergency will be harder. The exemption, you're a criminal possibly facing a $25,000 fine or 2 years jail for transacting. But not unless there's an earthquake or the telephone network goes out, illustrates the sheer absurdity of the proposal. So they're saying here that people basically who are trying to get any more than $10,000 or $10,000 out of their accounts or to transact that are criminals.
And they've got addendums in the legislation where they're going to reduce it once it gets into law. then they will then implement these other addendums, which will reduce the 10,000 down to 2. This is what I've read. Mm. So they're sneaking that in, and then they're going to change it. This is what they do all the time. They don't have any debate either. Not much debate. Hardly anybody is in their seats in Parliament when this is supposed to be debated. It's all been planned. You know, like, they don't want people to know about it. They don't want a debate over it. The decision's already been made. So then they'll change their tax, and they'll just bring in the addendum, and then they'll bring in the $2,000 and probably reduce it down even less in time.
Mm.
This is what they do. You know, it's not about us. It's not about the people. It's so just about control.
They're saying that the $10,000 cash ban is the first step along the path to banning all cash, which will allow government significantly greater overreach in the ability to force the public to stop saving and spend via unconventional monetary policy. This by design is to drive inflation and will devalue the value of money relative to real assets even further.
Right.
Mm.
We're on a slippery slope with that one.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? It's such an interesting, interesting article. Absolutely. Yeah. I could see it coming as well.
But it's all under the guise of convenience. Everything is convenient.
It is. Yeah. Tap and go.
You've got technology. You've got the financial system. You know, vaccines. Well, that's supposed to, you know, prevent disease. It's all guys.
You think they can put an expiry date on banknotes if you get them from an ATM?
Yeah, they have been known.
You know that
to change,
you have to spend it at
notes.
A certain time. Yeah.
Yes. They have deleted. They do it in sections. You watch the $100 note disappear.
So it's requiring that stamps be purchased and affixed to the paper currency. Currency periodically, effectively allowing the government to tax paper currency. And they've already got the GST as well, you know.
I think we're the highest taxed country in the world. When you really look at it,
it's consumption
from start
taxes
to finish, from A to Z. and a lot of it's all built in. Overseas, I know Canada, I think the US as well, they have the GST on top. But we have it built in, the 10%.
Jeez. Yeah, it's amazing.
We're at half an hour again, Adam.
We have, yeah.
Once we start, we can't stop.
No, the money thing is interesting. It's so interesting and confusing at the same time. It's not something I've really fully researched, but we can continue to look into it, what they're doing here. It's a long line,
isn't
it?
It's all part of the Agenda 21. Mm. It's all pretty well mapped out in that. I mean, we can go through that next week. If you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. So much to go through. It never ends. It's so much. I had an article up here about peer-reviewed science losing credibility that you posted. There's so much. And, you know, it's interesting, but I was on Facebook today and it seems what everyone cares about is radio superstar Kyle Sanderlands announcing he split from his slutty girlfriend, Imogen Anthony. So, everybody cares about that, which is, poor Kyle and his manufactured girlfriend. So that's what everyone's listening to and that's what everybody wants. So it's like to, completely... nullify and disturb and lead the country in a completely different direction while it burns. It's always what's happened, and everybody is so concerned with entertainment and all of these celebrities and what they're doing. This Kyle Sanderland stuff, it's all manufactured. That's what people don't understand. I've done podcasts on this, Donna. I was talking about Miley Cyrus and her marriages and how they split up after 6 months and a year. It's social engineering to make it so young people don't believe in love anymore. And it's also an attack on the family unit. And that's what these people are all about. That. It's a joke. I mean, this guy gets millions and millions of dollars for getting up there with his big stomach and crapping on Sydney radio. And we're here doing this. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. And it's like these people have hundreds of thousands of millions of viewers and listeners who follow them. And that's the way that it is. We can't get to everybody. But I look at this stuff every time I go on the news now and I get my news feeds and I'm on Facebook today and I'm everywhere that I am. I'm hearing about Kyle Sanderlands and his girlfriend breakup. And it's like, yeah, it just amazes
me. The tabloids, yeah, the tabloids just, yeah.
Aren't they disgusting?
That's the circus. That's the entertainment.
Keep everyone distracted.
Yeah, they're brilliant at it.
Aren't they?
I mean, my daughter's subject to that as well. It's all about the image. It's all about, you know, like she's got these fake eyelashes. Got the tattooed eyebrows. Wow. What she's done to her body is unbelievable. But it's all in competition. They're just competing against their friends to satisfy their partners. It's just sexualizing of our youth. That's what it is. And it's big money.
It is. Why don't we talk about that on the next podcast? What do you think?
Okay.
Let's dig up some stuff that people don't want to talk about.
Yes, I didn't tell you about the Gardasil debacle with my daughter, but we'll do that next week too. I'll have a bit more of a plan next week because today was a big day with doing that health centre at Ballina.
Well, we will say that these podcasts aren't planned. They're not. We don't plan them days ahead. We just connect straight away and we just, tonight we, Donna, you were having some problems with Skype. I've had those problems before actually on my old computer. So I know what you're going through. They wanted me to log in and do all this stuff. I don't know what it was, but when I bought a new computer, I logged in once and I kept it at that on Skype. But it's, I have really weird problems. I had problems the other night with my website. I couldn't get on. It was absolutely crashed. And I told you on Facebook, can you log into my website? And you said you could, but I couldn't get in. And then when I found out from hosting the AI bots had blocked me because of multiple login attempts, which means I forced logged in and I never logged in. And that's really worrying me because it's like someone knows when I'm online and they're trying to log into my website when I'm online or something. It's really weird. And he can't help me because he's in America. And so we're getting a lot of issues. You had issues for about 45 minutes tonight just trying to get onto Skype. And we had no...
I changed my password. Yeah, Microsoft wouldn't let me in.
I'm going to help you. I'll try and help you with a couple of things there if I think of them. But yeah, it shows you we're struggling all the time just to get on here. And nothing's planned at all. It's just us, heart and soul. And we hope that the folks out there enjoy it. But these podcasts are a little bit sporadic. We're going over a lot of different information, what we're seeing here. I don't think people realize how much information is coming through here, Donna, in Australia. You're getting and I'm getting. It's overwhelming. I can't post it. Or I just put up a couple on my website and I post a few over on social media channels, but it's absolutely overwhelming. I can't put it all up. And so we have to critically try and break it down and talk about it and discuss it. Otherwise, we're never going to understand it and we're never going to be able to beat it. So that's the important thing. So discussions really matter and they're really important to get the fence sitters on board. And we'll just continue, Donna, no stress, no worries. We'll just continue in our own way, in our natural way, and keep talking into the new year. So you take care, and we'll chat again next week.
That sounds great. Look forward to it, Adam. Thank you again.
All right.